We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now, hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey, everybody. Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Ryan Mahaffey. Ryan is the owner of RDM Business Solutions. Ryan has proven success in delivering results for Fortune 500 and global brands through strategic business planning and process management. International organizations, including Red Bull, Harley-Davidson, and Northwestern Mutual, have all benefited from Ryan's experience and work. He has a vast skill set and knowledge base in business development, including project management, marketing, sales, operations, financial management, and distribution. Ryan's unique combination of business expertise makes him the excellent consultant for organizations needing to overcome strategic obstacles, push beyond growth plateaus, or analyze the operations of their business. Ryan has worked on projects in Europe, China, India, and most of the United States. Not only is Ryan knowledgeable, he communicates with his clients effectively and efficiently. Ryan and his wife, Kira, live in the Denver, Colorado area, where he is on leadership at his local church and is the head coach of a high school ultimate frisbee program. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lori.
All right.
Excited to be on.
Yeah. How about a little bit more enthusiasm with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay. You've got quite the background. Absolutely going to be some good conversation you're going to share.
Well, it's interesting to hear the bio read out loud. When you have it written up and write it yourself and put that all together, it sounds like one thing. And then you hear it out loud and it sounds...
Were you just shocked with your own
bio?
Like, wow, that's me. That sounds pretty cool.
You also have such a great way of reading them. You make it sound so great at the same time.
Oh, well, it is quite impressive. So
thanks.
Pat yourself on the back. You talk about in your bio here and what we've discussed before jumping into this podcast is road mapping and developing strategy and how critical components those two things are to the success of an organization. Why do you believe on that importance, and why or how do you see organizations often losing sight of these critical components?
Yeah. So I've just talking to tons of businesses, small, large, you know, Fortune 500 companies. I think it's really easy to lose sight of where they're headed and why they're headed there. And we even have that in our personal life where we lose sight of those things. And I find with the day-to-day kind of minutia that organizations go through, whether you're a small business and you're a leader just getting it off the ground, or you're a Fortune 500 leader and you're dealing with whether that's legal issues or new markets or different things, I've seen that it's really easy to fall behind that, just kind of get into the day to day and not really have a plan. And really having a 10-year plan and a 5-year and a 3-year and a 1-year is really important to know where you're headed and how you're going to get there. And of course, that changes for organizations as that happens, but that really allows us to go into the day to day and know what's going to happen. Think about it personally, like a workout schedule. If you're going to, you know, Lori, I know you're super into hockey. So if you're playing in a hockey tournament and 3 months before that, you're probably going to start doing a little bit of training with that end goal in mind. And you're not every day going to wake up and refigure out how to get to that end goal. You're just going to go execute the plan that you put together to get there. And because of all the things that happen, and even in our day-to-day life, relationships or work or whatever, things get in the way of that, we begin to lose sight of that. So we need to, one, be confident in that plan and put it in place. And two, we need to have someone to hold us accountable and keep us moving towards it. And, helping organizations to do that. I find largely businesses in the, you know, 500K to 5 million range really struggle with that. They grow fast. They enter into new markets. They don't have a ton of resources to hire a bunch of new people. I'm sure you growing your own business have been in that spot a lot.
Absolutely.
And you end up taking on so many of those things on your own. And then a year, 2 years goes by and you think, man, I thought I would have been a a $5 million organization by now and I haven't hit that. What went wrong? And often it's losing sight of those things.
Yeah, that makes sense. Really good input. So how often should companies be taking a look at their operations and systems management?
Yeah, that's kind of the flip side of it, right? So organizations get a really good strategy in place and they have it on paper. They're all jazzed up, ready to go execute it. And then they hit a roadblock and realizing, oh man, we're not really set up to go do that. Our org chart doesn't make sense. Our invoicing system or our CRM or, you know, however simple or large you want it to be, maybe their operations aren't set up that way. And it kind of depends on the size of the industry and how long the company's been around. You see a lot of companies that have been around 50, 60 years, gone through a couple generations, and you kind of get the answer. I'm sure you've heard this. Well, that's just the way we've always done things. Mm-hmm. And when that's the case, you end up with organizations like Blockbuster, for example, that go out of business. It's just the way we've always done things, doesn't need to change. And then you kind of look at companies like Netflix, where, you know, they had a DVD rental model just like Blockbuster did. And they recognized, hey, we're going to streaming. We need to start changing things. And the same kind of methodology of stepping back, asking, why are we doing this? Does it make sense for our customers? Does it make sense for us? And holistically looking at the organization that way. And I think a lot of organizations and leaders are scared to ask that why, because there's a lot of work that goes into doing that, right? It's not easy to overhaul those things. But organizations now are hiring, you know, when you think of a CRM structure, they're hiring Salesforce admins at $400 an hour with, you know, certain corporations to just manage their CRM, because those operations are important to the success and health of their organization. So I think it really depends. And sometimes it's monthly, sometimes it's quarterly, sometimes it's annually, but it's important. And if you just find yourself always asking why, like I said, in your personal life or with your business, you're going to be able to really grow and challenge yourself and be better as a result of it.
Yeah, really good. It sounds like that it's somewhat in alignment with the specific goals of the organization and how often they should be checking operations and systems overall. Nice.
Definitely. And sometimes it's not something they can control. When I was working at Harley, it was just after 2008, the financial crisis hit, and they're a huge publicly traded company. And they had to start thinking through, how are we going to reduce margins? How are we going to save money and be more efficient in manufacturing and engineering processes and all those things? And sometimes it's something that happens to you. It's external forces that force us to do that. In the long run, you're better for it. But sometimes we can't even control when those timelines are. We just have to take them as they come.
So Ryan, you shared in your bio that you coach high school ultimate frisbee. Why don't you share with our listeners a little bit more about what exactly that is, and then just talk about what your favorite part about coaching is.
Yeah, so ultimate frisbee, the sport where everyone listening is probably thinking people with dreadlocks and their dogs running around barefoot with a frisbee, because that's what I get all the time. So no, ultimate has really grown over the past 10 to 15 years. It's a national sport with a professional league in almost 20 cities. There's national and world championships. And here in Colorado, there are, I want to say, 40 to 50 high school teams. It's a huge program. USA Ultimate's headquartered in Colorado Springs. So, you know, I think Seattle is the next largest, and maybe North Carolina, high school scenes. So I actually got the opportunity to start coaching 3 years ago. This is my third season of coaching high school Chatfield Ultimate Frisbee. And I'd wanted to coach for so long and really didn't find the right opportunity or school looking for it. And then I heard from someone posted on Facebook that a team was looking for a coach. And we ended up winning zero games until the state tournament. We went, you know, 0-20 the whole first part of the season. And it was, the captain had played ultimate a ton, and he was in marching band and recruited all his marching band friends to play frisbee with him. And all these other schools had programs for 10 years, and we just got whooped constantly. But it was so fun. Ultimate is, it's not, there's no referees, there's no officiating. It's all self-officiated, and the idea of having integrity and respect for the people around you and your opponent is really upheld at a high level. So even at the highest level, there's no referees in the sport.
Wow.
And it's really cool to take that and teach kids who maybe they haven't seen healthy conflict resolution in their lifetime or their families or things, and to say, hey, what does that look like on the field? And the, you know, moments where you're training for this sport and you're working hard and it's a really intense tied game and you actually have to make the right call. You're not kind of trying to pick the disc off the ground and make sure the ref didn't see it and he calls it up. It's actually up to you to have integrity. And I think teaching kids that is really important because they take it far on. And now 3 years later, fast forward, we are kind of one of the top 4 or 5 teams in the state for Division I and possibly going to win a state title if the guys kind of get their mental game totally on track, which is really fun to go from coaching at that, you know, Division II, losing every game model, and then 3 years later be, you know, working with these guys and helping them do that and really watching them just grow as players and grow as leaders and grow as people. It's really fun. When you see kids, you know, their first point when they've never played a sport before because they didn't make other teams or, you know, never really fit into that lifestyle of football or whatever. And then they score their first point and the whole team rushes the field and picks them up. And they're this tiny little freshman. It's the coolest moment possible.
That's awesome. Congrats on that. It sounds like regardless if you win or lose, you've got great successes with not only the team, but the kids in general. Nice.
Yeah, it's super fun.
So I know you're a big advocate of networking, and it's one of the main reasons I wanted to bring you on the show. I'm sure you're going to have lots of fantastic stories to share with our listeners. My goal with this podcast is to remove the fear that comes along with that word networking. So can you help me do that by sharing to our listeners your favorite networking story or experience that you've had?
Totally. So I'm gonna share two, and I'm gonna try to go through them quick. But they're both really cool stories. And the first one starts with actually Keystone Click and you guys when I was interning with you all. That was when you said Facebook to a business, and they freaked out because they knew they had to do it, and they had no idea how to. They were, I think that was what 2010 or 2011, yeah. And it was these small business owners that had never, you know, touched Facebook before, but they were hearing they needed to do it, and we were helping, and it was really fun and really cool. And I was a college student that, you know, I wanted every Twitter follower I could have, and I would retweet every article I saw and all that kind of stuff. And you know, looking back now, I think, man, was that really worth it or not? But you know, when I spent 3 years at Red Bull, and the reason is largely because of Twitter, to say that. And I had, you know, being into mountain biking and punk rock, my bio really, I think it said mountain biker, punk rock, into marketing and action sports or something. And I think it was November or October, Red Bull's main at Red Bull account retweeted something that I had put out, which is crazy. First of all, I remember how excited I was that Red Bull retweeted me. And they had a grad program that was an 18-month rotational program. And they actually, the grad program saw that I was retweeted, looked at my bio and followed me. And then that was how I got my job at Red Bull, because the person running it kind of liked me. I followed it back. I inquired about it. I think I direct messaged them a couple questions. And I think it was 2 months later and all those crazy interviews that happened and flying to California. That is what actually got me my job got me on the track of getting my job at Red Bull.
I love that story. So that is a great story.
It is crazy. To think of the hundreds of posts we put out, maybe one of those hundreds actually impacts, you know, our network or our people, but it's worth it to, you know, you never know who's out there, who's listening, or who's going to be on their phone at that exact moment. And that's just how social works, but it does matter. And it's really cool to see that is what happened. That's from the digital social networking cool. side of it that I think
awesome.
Is important. And then the other one is, when I left Red Bull, I went to Eastern Europe for a little while, did some mission work with business stuff. And then I came back to Denver and I decided, you know, I didn't want to go back to the corporate grind. I didn't want to go into, you know, just some random job for the sake of doing it. So I ended up driving Uber for a little bit just to make a little bit of extra cash, not live out of my savings account. And I talked to a few nonprofits that I wanted to work for. Nothing really panned out. It didn't seem like a good fit. And one morning I picked up this blind gentleman near my apartment in Denver, that near downtown, and he had a dog with him. And I had probably given 100 to 200 rides at this point, and never a blind person, which you'd think that might be a, you know, pretty normal customer for an Uber driver. And it just hadn't happened. So I take this gentleman and his dog, and I'm asking him all these questions about being blind and all this stuff. And really one of the first blind people I'd been around in my life. I hadn't had opportunities to interact with that. So I drive him all the way out to the Jefferson County Courthouse in Golden, Colorado. I drop him off and, you know, have a good day, all that stuff. And I get another ping for a ride within about 5 minutes. And I drive over and I pull up into this apartment complex, and out comes walking another blind guy. And I'm like, what is going on? This is crazy. You know, like 4 months of this, hundreds of rides, never someone who's blind. And it turns out that that gentleman was going downtown. So we had about, you know, 25, 30 minutes in traffic to talk and catch up. And he ran and still runs a social entrepreneurship business here and nonprofit here in Denver, helping people who are blind, visually impaired, getting employed with Fortune 500 companies. So we start talking and he's kind of at this critical point of needing someone to help grow the organization in the ways that he doesn't have that background, helping with sales strategy. And I'm looking for a nonprofit to join that has a business perspective to it and is a social entrepreneurship. So we get coffee the next morning, and I think it was 2 weeks later, we signed a contract and I started working for him, consulting on a lot of stuff. And I, you know, 18 months later, you know, I ended up leaving that organization, but that was, you know, really rounded out my business experience. So to think that, you know, Uber as one, I think it is a great networking tool, but it was crazy to me that it was kind of two blind individuals on the same morning just leading up to that. And then I spend 18 months helping him build this organization out. It was really cool that, you know, it wasn't the way networking normally happens. You know, we go to an event or whatever, but I think the best networking stories come from totally random experiences like that and how they pan out.
Totally. Those are fantastic stories. And I'm sure our listeners really appreciate that you offered them up. Yeah. Great. Twitter brings you to Red Bull and being an Uber driver gives you an 18th month, fantastic experience. That's awesome. Yeah.
We'll see what happens in the future. I'm a little worried at those two stories. We'll see what,
you got a lot of life ahead of you there.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
So you've worked at large corporate entities, you've helped nonprofits, you traveled the world. What do you do to stay in front of all of these people that you've built and are added to your network and community now?
Yeah, that's actually something I've been thinking about a lot recently with having, you know, left the nonprofit and starting and working more towards, you know, doing consulting full time is how do I manage that? How do I manage it well? I think social media is important. I think it's just we're going to meet hundreds of people in our lifetime and we're not going to be able to perfectly keep up with all of them. You can't have coffee with every single person, you know, once a week, but even you, Lori, you know, it's crazy. It was however many years ago, it's 2018. So it was like 7 years ago that, you know, I was working at Keystone Click, but even though we haven't kept up a ton in between, I know what's going on because I see that on Facebook. So I think, you know, not being, you know, Facebook glued to your phone all the time where you're just scrolling the newsfeed, but intentionally kind of keeping up with that and knowing what's going on and even commenting or sharing things with people. Or if you see something cool that happens, you know, it's someone's birthday or you see that they got a new job, just shooting them a quick text message out of the blue. I think that's a great way to use social to just kind of maintain those relationships and, you know, to know what's going on with people. And, you know, you see someone's moving. My wife Kira, for example, she went to Africa with someone and I think it was 2009 on a mission trip, and they kept in touch on Facebook a little bit here or there, and they just moved to Denver last summer from Indiana and have become some of our best friends in the city. And that's just because they kept in touch on Facebook. Kira saw one day they were moving to Denver and we became friends, which is awesome. So I think it's important to look at social as that. And then I've been toying with this idea in my mind of how do you establish a network CRM and manage it well. Like, who are your relationships that are people you're going to see weekly? Who are the people you're going to see, you know, monthly or a couple times a month? And who's your quarterly people and your 6 month people and your once a year people? And not doing that in a way that commoditizes relationships, but in a way that's realistic, in a way that says, hey, here's the people I want to develop or the people I want to develop me. Here's this great person that, you know, I love talking to every 6 months. And being intentional about putting that in, whether that's a Google Doc or you actually, you know, use a CRM software for it, but finding a way to actually manage that and set yourself reminders to say, hey, I talked to this person, we got a beer, we got coffee or lunch in March. I'm going to, you know, just put a reminder to connect with them in October. And otherwise we just kind of forget those things. And then I find we're either looking for a job or we are starting something new or we're starting a sales job of some sort. And that's the times we end up reaching out to people, not because we're just trying to use people, but it's just we get so tied down in our jobs and things. And that's not really an effective, you know, servant way to have a relationship with people. So I'm really committing to kind of reconnecting with a lot of my network now and then setting myself up to do that in the future so that those relationships, they feel more valued and they're just more valuable relationships in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Really good advice there. And I like how you've kind of defined to some degree, or you're thinking about it weekly, monthly, quarterly, biannual, you know, just frequency of kind of staying in touch of some of those individuals to nurture that relationship.
Yeah, definitely.
So what advice would you offer the business professional who is looking to grow their network?
Yeah, there's so much advice. I think the two things that I find most important are being authentic and serving other people. I've been to so many networking events and I've met so many people. And oftentimes, you know, the networking event has your financial professional, your real estate guy, your web developer, and they're all kind of there just like looking for business. And, you know, you get cards or whatever, you even reach out to some of them. They realize you don't have a finance, you already have a finance professional or financial advisor, and then they never reach back out to you. Mm-hmm. So I think really approaching networking as a way to serve other people and then organically letting whatever happen come from there. I think there's a way for sales to fit into that, but I think you really need to figure out what you can do for other people, what relationships you have you can introduce them to, and just enter into it with that mindset. Whoever you meet, how can you help them? How can you serve them? And then being authentic, and that is just being you. Don't try to be someone else. Don't try to, you know, beef up stories or lie about things to try to gain the approval of that person. You know, if you are yourself and you are, you know, you uphold integrity and you're honest and you are just a good person, people will come around and people will be a part of your life and people will help you. And then the third thing I would say too is asking a lot of questions. You know, listen to the stories that people tell, talk as little as possible and ask them follow-up questions. I kind of make it a goal of most of my meetings, even if they're sales meetings, to just try to have the other person talk 40 minutes out of the 60-minute hour. Just because people aren't intentional about that. And there's a lot of things going on in people's lives and their business and whatever. And they don't get those follow-up questions. No one is actually asking what's going on or, oh, how does that make you feel? Or what is the biggest challenge with that? Usually it's, what do you do? How do you do it? Cool. I'm going to go on to the next person. And to really just ask questions and not yes, no questions, but ones that have follow-up and listen really well, you know, that builds relationships really quickly and really solidly. And I think it's important to go into it with that mindset.
Yeah, really good advice. Be authentic, serving others and asking questions, which is ultimately listening, right?
Yeah, totally. Really, yeah. We all need to learn from that
skill. So you spoke very heavily about the digital, especially in your initial story with how Twitter helped you to work with Red Bull. But digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
Yeah, I kind of touched on that a little bit earlier, but to expand on that more, I think the traditional networking is for your core network and social is for stuff in between meetings. And what I mean by that is you need both. And I don't think with the way LinkedIn is now and Facebook is now and the way people's, you know, it's the digital world has changed our brains and how fast we move and how fast we think. And in order to be effective, I think we need to stay on people's radar. So social is important, but nothing's going to come out of social relationships just on their own. So there needs to be that element of traditional networking in there where, you know, like I said, and that goes back to that CRM idea that I kind of work off of, which is, you know, let's have our traditional network. Let's know that I'm going to meet with this person every 6 months and let me then build my social in a way that allows me to keep in touch with them and know what's going on for that 6 month gap. So really it's not an either or, it's a both and. And social is really important. It's how people, you know, you get an hour with somebody once every 6 months or something. And, you know, if you want to get your ideas out there, or you want to share what's going on or how you feel about something, you need to do that on social and you need to do it often enough and in a way that it actually catches people's radar. So doing that effectively is important.
Yeah, really good. And I agree 100%. It's definitely a combination of both the activities. And I like how you stated traditional networking is part of your core network, and I'm wondering if you can just elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah, and what I mean by that is kind of who are my core people, right? Who are the people that I have decided to develop? So I think we should all have those, right? We've all been developed by some people. I mean, Lori, you developed me a ton, and as a result of being a recipient of that, right? I mean, yeah, when I was at Keystone Click, I learned so much.
Cool.
And as being a recipient of that, then we should go out and pour that into somebody else. So we should have people around us that we're developing. We should have people that are developing us. There are tons of weaknesses that I have and always will be finding. And if we're going to grow and we're going to be better, we need people who are different than us, who look different than us, who think different than us, all those things kind of challenging us. We need those people who we've given permission to in our lives to kind of keep us on track and yell at us when we need to be yelled at and all those things. I think that's super important. And then we just kind of have those core people. And I think that other section of core people is, who are the people that are naturally part of your life? Whether that's, you know, other coaches on my Frisbee team, or that's people from church that I just naturally see week in, week out. Or, you know, if you're in a sports league, who are those people? And don't try to force that core network. Just kind of say, who are the people that I've been put around, and let me network with them well. Or, you know, with joining a networking group, don't join 15 networking groups. Join one or two. Join networking groups that are people that are committed to being there. Oftentimes the paid networking groups are better for that because people have made a commitment. And, you know, think of your core network as those people that naturally are going to show up in your life in those ways. And those are the people that you're just going to naturally build better relationships with. And that is going to change as life changes, as you have kids or don't have kids, or you move to a new city. Like, those relationships will change. But I think having a pulse on what that is every, you know, season of life is important.
Yeah, really good. I like that a lot. Just the individuals that are part of your life. But I really like you, how you really broke down the cores, the people that you're trying to develop. And it kind of goes back to that nurturing question, not just nurturing for business, but it's helping to empower others, really.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that's serving people, mm-hmm. right? It's when you're empowering people and developing them, you're also serving them.
Well said. So Ryan, we've all heard of the six degrees of separation. Now, who'd be the one person that you'd love to connect with? And do you think you could do it within the sixth degree?
It's interesting. Yeah. That's an interesting question, because I think the people that I would want to connect with are people that are close, you know. So I think of, you know, right now is this weekend, the downhill. So I race mountain bikes here in Denver. I race downhill and I race enduro. And I grew up racing BMX. And as you know, Lori, that's always just been a huge part of my life. Uh-huh. So Aaron Gwynn is probably the fastest rider in the world. He just won the first stage last weekend of the UCI Downhill World Cup. So his, you know, amazingness is top of mind for me. So I think, oh yeah, Aaron Gwynn, it would be cool to go mountain bike with him, you know, just have a day to go ride and learn and just try to follow him down a trail. And your question was, how would I go about that? So it's funny, because I think, well, you know, because I'm interested in that, I've surrounded myself with people that are in that world. So whether that's a couple of bike shop owners in Denver that might have connections, or he is a Red Bull athlete. So I think for me, it would be a lot easier to get that 6 degrees of separation by just going to some of the people I know at Red Bull and asking for an introduction. But it's the funny thing about answering that question to me is, the people that you care to meet or care to know sometimes are the people that you're already building networks with in some ways, you know, that you've been naturally kind of, you know, I've been into BMX racing and mountain biking. Therefore I worked at Red Bull. Therefore the people that I'd be interested in meeting are not that far away on that 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah. That's a really good thought, that you've kind of subconsciously been working towards that connection already.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I guess. I hadn't thought about that.
Well, hopefully you report back that you've made the connection and it was an awesome ride that you two went on.
That would be amazing. I would be very, very humbled by trying to follow someone like that down a trail.
All right. So business is definitely your game. You've spoken about all different types of service areas within the business world that you are helping others to excel at. And therefore, I imagine that you're reading lots of books around these different topics. Can you share with our listeners what book you might be reading right now?
Yeah. I'm kind of reading three right now. I've one business book I'm reading, one kind of personal spiritual growth book I'm reading. And then I usually have an audio book going for when I walk the dog, because she's a husky and I have to walk her like an hour and a half a day. So I'm reading a book right now. It's called Relationships, A Mess Worth Making. Kira and I are kind of growing and being leaders in our church and just kind of growing in relationships with other people and all that, and reading that book to really grow and learn how to do that better. So that's one book I'm reading. The other book I'm reading is the Dietrich Bonhoeffer autobiography that was done by Eric Metaxas. And that's really, really cool. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor in Germany during, you know, the World War II Hitler era. And it's just really phenomenal book and really well done. And the other book I'm reading is a book called Managing the Numbers, which I think a lot of interest listeners would be interested in. And it's really exploring how do you look at income statements and P&Ls and balance sheets and all those CPA, CFO kind of things as a smaller business owner and make sense of it and start to use them to make decisions for your business. I think a lot of us without a strong finance or CPA background are kind of scared of those things, but there's something that if you have a board of directors or if you're just running a business, no matter how small it is, you should have a pulse on what that is. So I'm reading that book largely to help myself grow in that area, but also to learn how to articulate that better to a lot of my clients and people that I'm working with when they're in that boat, just to help them be more effective in doing that.
Yeah, nice. All of them sound very interesting, but I'm definitely going to take a look at Managing the Numbers book. That's definitely an area that I want to be able to speak more intelligently to overall.
Definitely. I'll send you a link for sure.
Ryan, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Just care about people. I really think that's important. We've talked about it a lot, but you know, be genuine, treat people with respect, care more about other people than you do about yourself in the moment. And everything else really falls into place from there. We have moments in our career that are, you know, down moments and up moments. And realistically, when you look back on life at the end of it, theoretically, it's going to seem more like a straight line than the ups and downs that we experience it as now. And what's going to matter is that you cared about people, you served them well, and, you know, you did that with a level of integrity, and people remember you for that too. And I think everything else just kind of falls into place around those things, and really, you know, whatever you need in your career will come out of doing those other things well.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely agree 100%. Just, you know, treating others with respect at the end of the day goes so much further than the opposite, right?
Totally. Yeah. Everything else is going to fall away. Money, you know, the quick sale, all that stuff. But those are the respect, and respecting other people is the thing that sticks.
If anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Yeah, they can email me at ryan@rdmbizwithaz.com or just visit www.rdmbizwithaz.com and fill out the contact form on there and get in touch with me that way.
All right. We will include that information in the show notes. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Ryan.
Thanks, Lori. And thanks for doing this podcast. It's really cool to get this information out and help people do this better. So thank you for letting me be a part of it.
Yeah, no problem. You had great stories to share.
Thanks, Lori.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Ryan for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.